Hey, happy Thanksgiving. This is Arnie from Earth breaking in with a little extra something. I know we're taking a couple of weeks off for Thanksgiving, but I wanted to share with you my new podcast, No Skip Christmas. It's a Christmas music playlist podcast mini-series. I've been doing them through November. I'm going to be doing them every Tuesday until Christmas. And if you'll forgive the intrusion, if you'll forgive the interruption, I'm sharing the first episode of No Skip Christmas, the one with the guest Justin McElroy, here on the feed in case you haven't had a chance to hear it yet. And the episodes that have already come out have included guests Helen Zaltzman from The Illusionist, Jonathan Colton and Pollen Storm, the Grammy-nominated rapper Megaran, and the new one this week, our dear friends, Zach and Jess from Off Book, the improvised musical. Oh, they're so good. They're so fun. It's a good episode. Anyway, if you enjoy this, if it seems like something you'd be into, there are links to the podcast feed in the show notes, or you could just look up No Skip Christmas on whatever podcatcher you use. You can figure it out. I believe in you. Anyway, I should stop intro-ing the show so you can get to the part at the beginning of the show where I intro the show. Hope you're doing well. Talk to you soon. Hey, happy holidays. This is No Skip Christmas, a Christmas music playlist podcast. I'm Arnie Niekamp. I love Christmas music. I love the challenge of it. For years, I've curated a Christmas music playlist, and I enjoy the challenge of having variety, lots of surprises, but also, and this is the hard part, having it still feel fundamentally Christmassy. So I'm excited to have some of my friends on who I also know are Christmas music enthusiasts, and I'll share some of the songs on my playlist with them, and they'll share some songs with me, and I'll decide whether those songs go on my playlist or do not go on my playlist. The stakes could not be higher. I'm excited to be joined in this first episode by the great Justin McElroy. Justin, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Arnie, it is such a big pleasure for me. I love this topic. I love Christmas music in general, but I love thinking about it and talking about it. And not everybody does. You know, it's weird when you start, if you ever start enthusing about Christmas music to somebody who gives you that dead eye, like, you might as well be talking about like the potpourri you enjoy. It's atmosphere, man. I don't know what you mean.
But to me, part of what's great about it is it's largely maligned. A lot of it is genuinely bad. Although to be fair, some of the stuff that is bad, I do like. Some of it that's bad, I really don't like. But the fun part is like digging through, finding fun stuff.
Yep.
So for listeners who aren't familiar, Justin is a host of many podcasts, My Brother and Me, The Adventure Zone, Sawbones, many more. But the main reason that I wanted to have Justin on is years ago, he posted a playlist of Christmas music on social media somewhere, and I looked at it and I snagged many songs that I'm sure at some point I'll be recommending on future episodes of this podcast.
I hope so.
And then some that I did not, but it had like a high hit rate for me, basically.
Thank you. That's so flattering. Do you remember the name of that playlist, Arnie?
I do not. Do you?
It is called Justin's Christmas Adventure Original Motion Picture Soundtrack. If you find it on Spotify, you can read this description. Justin's at it again, and this time he's bringing the whole gang to the North Pole. Join Justin McElroy, Stumbo the Troll, Kevin Pollock, and their buddy Darlene, Dame Judi Dench, as they try to save Santa from the evil Carnisgrian Kevin Sorbo. So this is my fictional playlist too, apparently. I do not remember writing this at all, Arnie. I do not know how this came to be.
I have no memory of reading that part of it.
And me neither.
I don't know.
I don't remember
maybe
writing
you
it.
Wouldn't have been my first guest if I had remembered.
Who knows?
It sort of feels like it's in a series of like Ernest movies. Like you've gotten
yes,
to your
exactly.
Ernest Saves
yes,
Christmas.
I wanted my own holiday. This would be the soundtrack to my holiday movie because I would want it to be impeccable.
Yeah, but I also love that you're like, you know what? If I did my Ernest movies, I'd be able to pull Dame Judi Dench into the cast.
We'd been looking for something to work on together.
Justin, what is generally your relationship to Christmas? How Christmassy a guy are you? Or is it just the music?
I grew up in a pretty religious household, and we were very much, go to church Sundays and Wednesdays. So Christmas
Sundays
was,
and was, Wednesdays, that's...
Yeah, and we did the Wednesday night youth group, and then Sundays was like the real hardcore preaching. But the we obviously observed. It was very, very richly observed in my house. Mm-hmm. I would say my mom went all out with decorating in a style that I think is now called primitive, folksy. You know, a lot of cinnamon and potpourri in the air. It was a big deal at our house. It was enough of a transformation that my mom got in the habit of having my dad film the decorations at the end of the year before she took them down, so she could remember how she got them up the year before the way that she liked them.
That's great. I don't know why. Like, I'm not a decorate the house person generally, but there is just some energy around. What if I had things in the house that were only out part of the year? Somehow that makes it exciting to me.
I can't get, we do decorate for Christmas, but it doesn't, I have started to feel that way with Halloween, mm-hmm. because I like the idea of making my house scarier for some reason. That's very thrilling to me, that suddenly there's like thrills and chills in an otherwise normal setting. That's fun to me.
Well, I don't even really like to decorate the outside of the house. That feels like too much of a hassle. So I don't know. I'm just an Ebenezer Scrooge, or just only having Christmas inside of the house, and people walking by would have no idea that Christmas is going on inside.
That's why you got to get yourself a 25-foot tall Beetlejuice, because you do that, no one can say you're not decorating.
It's true.
Maybe it's put a garland up on him, a wreath.
Perfect for Christmas.
Perfect. Perfect for every year, all year long.
All right, let's jump into the music. I'm going to start with the first song, and look, I know I've sort of hyped up like, ooh, I'm going to have some surprising songs on here, but I do want to start with a bass line of like an old standard that I actually like. And so my first song is Holly Jolly Christmas, sung by Burl Ives.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas.
I just love Holly Jolly Christmas. Like, it feels like an acceptable, overplayed Christmas song. And I was thinking about it, and I think part of it is so much of Christmas music is how much it just hits some weird nostalgia center in your brain. It needs to be something that's familiar, but not so familiar that it starts, that your body starts to reject it. So, mm-hmm. you know, for me, if I'm looking for like an old Christmas standard, it's one that I have heard thousands of times as a child, but maybe not hundreds of thousands of times as a child.
Yes, I think that that's true. Or maybe ones that were background tracks for you growing up, mm-hmm. that you really only heard like as you got older and thought and were able to think of them as like discrete songs and you didn't like get overexposed.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny. I also realized, I had a realization. I was like, look, I don't want to put something on like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'll put on Holly Jolly Christmas. Not realizing subconsciously, Holly Jolly Christmas is in the Rankin Bass Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer special.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, it's a classic.
As a child, do you remember Burl Ives as Sam the Snowman? He has his weird signature Van Dyke mustache. An umbrella for some reason, and a bowler hat and a vest.
It is amazing to me because that is that by the time I'm seeing that, right, it's a generation removed. Mm-hmm. So it's not a snowman that looks like Burl Ives. It's Burl Ives, a snowman who for the rest of living memory has now fused. As far as I don't think that snowman looks like Burl Ives.
No.
That is Burl Ives. As far as I know, he's a snowman.
But even as a child, I feel like I was like, there's so much going on with this snowman.
Yeah, there's like
this
a lot
must
of like
be a person.
They're doing a lot of there's a lot of paprika on the snowman.
At the very least, I'm like, that is not Frosty.
No, he seems
that
like
is
a guy.
Different. They want me to know this is like a different snowman. Maybe Frosty's uncle.
He's kind of cheeky. You know, yeah. He's kissing girls once for him. You know,
I know.
Old dog.
Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas.
I also love the line, I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. What a wild thing for a snowman to say.
I don't know if I'll be there or not, but please have a drink in my honor.
I might be dead, but do not let that make your Christmas any less holly jolly.
I think there is something fun about Having a Christmas song that swings, I think is more fun to sing along to as a group.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get that, like, nobody's going to get off. There's a bit of syncopation. You're going to have some fun with the rhythm. And you can sing along to, and it's fun to sing along to. I think it's fun to hear. This is a fun rhythm, I think, also, that, like, can break up the monotony of a lot of the Christmas music that's so much more down-tempo.
Yeah, I agree.
Cuts through the noise.
Is this a song you would put on your own Christmas playlist?
I might have it on there. I don't know. Actually, I will say that I watched that special enough that I would probably keep it to that special. I'd probably leave it within Rudolph. Like, it's contextualized there. I wouldn't pull it out in isolation.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I'm so excited. I'm actually glad we're getting off on a foot of not just pushing every song through to the playlist. There has to be a little tension as to whether these are going to make it or not.
Can I ask, in this curation, and I think that, like, this is something that I will be honest about in my playlist. I feel like I need to not just, like, want to hear the songs, but I need to be able to defend it a little bit. Like, I need to, there has to be something, some ego there. There has to be some bit where I hope someone's going to look up and be like, hello. You know, like, oh, what's this? You know,
yeah,
like,
oh, absolutely.
What a savvy pick.
It's not even so much for me the defending. It has to be, someone looks over and I'm smirking at them like, oh, yes, I did put this on my playlist.
So as much as I love Holly Jolly Christmas, and there are standards where I feel like that can get to that level where it's like, you cannot argue with this. I feel like because of the Rudolph connection, I don't think it is like Titanic enough to stand on its own. That would be my argument.
I think that's fair. For me, it's really at the bottom of what I would include. It's mostly me wanting to have a standard and then not having one that's so bulletproof that's like, why am I even bothering to put this song on the playlist? You're going to hear this a million times all Christmas. Although this is a song you're going to hear a lot every Christmas anyway.
Sure. Right.
Justin, what's the first song you have for me?
A couple of, I will say several of the songs on my list, and not from my personal list, but on my playlist, came from a really great Christmas music documentary. Have you seen Jingle Bell Rocks?
I have not. I'm grabbing a pen as if I'm not recording this and will not listen to this numerous times in the future. But Jingle Bell Rocks.
Jingle Bell Rocks is a great documentary about people who comb like vintage record stores looking for like oddball Christmas singles and like oddball recordings, and talking about how Christmas music is like, you know, evolved, and the people who love it and why they love it, et cetera. And this song, 5 Pound Box of Money by Pearl Bailey, is one that I heard of in that documentary of Jingle Bell Rocks.
Hey, Santa Claus, you want to make me happy this year? Listen to me, honey. Give Pearl something that'll be of some use to me, like a 5 Pound box of money. Now there's a little gift. It's loaded with lots of sentiment. See, whenever I get blue, Santa, I'm gonna think of you. But at the same time, that will change to pay my rent, you see?
Now, there are very few songs that I think are actually funny. I think there are very few Christmas songs that make me laugh. I think Christmas Kisses by Red State Update is one, and the other one is 5 Pound Box of Money by Pearl Bailey, which is a song where she kind of sings, kind of yells, and it's kind of like a wish list for Santa that is just money, and not any sort of amount of money, but Pearl Bailey wants a 5 Pound box of money, which is, she keeps repeating, and she says it as like somebody who loves that kind of like abstraction in comedy and the way that like things stop being funny and then start being funny again. She sells it so well. She'll like start singing the song in the middle and then bring it back to, and then if time allows, a 5 Pound box of money.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny.
Justin, I'm so glad that this is one of the songs that you're pitching, because this is one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs. And I agree. It is so funny. I love that it's sort of funny and like, five different ways. Like the inherent premise is funny enough, but then also the way Pearl Bailey sings it, right? Like
it's that such delivery where people used to have to do this 1,000 times a year in front of 100. It's that craft where like it sounds cast tossed off, and it is, but it is like 100% precise. Like every syllable of it is like so funny and so targeted and so in rhythm and like syncopation and feels right with the music. It's wild.
She's clearly a great singer and she sings a little bit, but then like the most weirdly, the most musical parts where she's just kind of like, almost feels improvisational, but probably isn't, where she's just like, try me, Santa, try me, like the stuff like that. I also love how single-minded she is about this five-pound box of money. It's so funny at one point that she's just sort of like, something like, Santa, are you following me? All these things I'm telling you? And it's literally, she's just been saying a five-pound box of money over and over again.
It's great.
So to review, I want a five-pound box of money.
I cannot be more specific.
Can you hear me? Fine, bring me some money, old Santa. Now, what do I want with this diamond? Are you kidding?
This is a throwaway joke, but I really love where she's like, a five-pound box of money. Really, how much could that weigh?
It's really good, bro. It's really good. It also, sonically, I think, is important because it still sounds pleasant. I think that's really so key for a Christmas song. Is that it can't give anybody in the room the urge to be like, oh, God. You know, like, and there's a lot of novelty songs where I feel like, oh, gee, like, maybe Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer generated laughs at one point. But I feel like at this point, if I hear the opening strains, I'm, like, sprinting for a knob. I can't just sonically absorb it.
Yeah, listeners, you need to know it's a hard no for me for Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer. I do not need to ever hear that song ever again.
I'm so sorry to lead you into that so early.
But yeah, it's so funny. And also, yeah, it's kind of like in that time. It's a standard or standard adjacent. So it sort of is in that time period that feels inherently Christmassy. But then like the humor of it and the delivery of it is so modern in a way that doesn't draw too much attention to itself, but is just delightful.
It's really, really funny.
All right, why don't we move on to my next song? This is another one that might be a little obvious, but it's a contemporary classic that I just absolutely love. Growing up, you know, I was a teenager in the 90s, and that was one of the times when I was most trying to consume cool music. And I remember one of the bands that I tried to get into was this band called Low, which I guess would be described as like slowcore or dream pop. You know, like beautiful music, but intentionally like dreamily slow, where a song would be something like, I drove past, and like the guitar would do like one strum, your house, one drum beat, but you were dead. Like something like that. That is my unfair impression of a Low song.
But if you invested your own personal time trying to get into Low, then you've earned the right to take passing swipe at Low, right? you did your time in the mines.
Yes. And it's beautiful, but it just kind of wasn't me. I couldn't get into it. But then, and I think I still have this cardboard EP somewhere in a milk crate in my basement. They released a Christmas album called Christmas EP. And if I'm being honest, most of the songs were still too slow for my tastes, but I absolutely love maybe one of my top two or three Christmas songs of all time, Just Like Christmas by Low. For me, Just Like Christmas is such a breath of fresh air. Like it starts with jingling bells, which is always going to give you a leg up in it, feeling like a Christmas song. It has like, I think what is probably a drum machine that sort of sounds like it's playing from a radio. It's got this beautiful organ. And then Mimi Parker, I believe it's Mimi Parker's voice, just singing these really simple lyrics about I guess probably being on tour in Stockholm. It starts to snow. Someone says, it's just like Christmas. And I just love that she sings, but you were wrong. It wasn't like Christmas at all. And then it just goes on to, they go to Oslo. There's no snow. They get lost. They're in beds that are too small, but they feel young. And then she just sings, it was just like Christmas, over and over again. And it's just a small, simple, beautiful delight to me. I don't know, Justin, if you are familiar with this song.
I had not encountered it before. It's really nice. I like it falls into this category of Christmas song that I think is really fascinating, that is like a longing for mm-hmm. Christmas. Like, it's a longing or a pining for something that you are currently experiencing. And I think there is something that, I don't know, that we like about that bittersweet sort of like face pressed against the mm-hmm. glass, like looking at the family inside while you're also the family inside. Like, you appreciate it more, maybe. Or like that you connect with it more because it's so wistful. But yeah, it's beautiful. It sounds really lovely. And I like songs that are not Christmas songs explicitly, but are sort of like about that idea, mm-hmm. you know, that are not just about Christmas, but, you know, sort of a more outsider perspective.
I mean, it paints this whole tiny, it's a poem, essentially. It paints this whole tiny little story. The song is probably like 50 words total, and at least 14 of those words are just the word Christmas over and over again. But like you said, I love that it's sort of playing with this Christmas feeling of like, oh, is this Christmassy? Is this Christmassy enough? And sometimes it's not, but just how wonderful it is when something does just sort of strike you as it being just like Christmas.
It was just like Christmas. It was just like Christmas. It was just like Christmas.
My next song is Santa Tell Me by Ariana Grande.
Okay.
Santa, tell me if you're really there. Don't make me fall in love again if you won't be here next year. Santa, tell me if he really cares. 'Cause I can't give it all away if he won't be here next year.
I know that this song is extremely popular. Mm-hmm. And I know that Ariana Grande is pretty well known. I think at this point, most people have probably, I would say, heard of Ariana Grande. I don't feel like we have had in recent memory, and by that I mean like this millennium, a lot of really great, like iconic top 40 Christmas pop, like where it is a new thing on the radio. And I feel like you can prove this pretty definitively. Like, if you were to look at countries that track this more rigorously, you know, you see how often the last great pop standard, which I would argue is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, I don't feel like we have had that caliber of hit. And I would just submit that this song, which came out in 2014, is, since All I Want for Christmas Is You, the best like pop Christmas song. Now, bar that is the tone of pop music has changed quite a bit, right? So pop music, whatever that means now, is not one that would fit in with a lot of like Christmas standards. It wouldn't make as much sense to make like Christmas pop music. It's just not a thing that's done that much anymore, I would say. So it's like kind of a weird dichotomy. But I think for me, it's beautifully constructed. It's fun to listen to. Ariana Grande is doing the thing that she does with her voice in a lot of these songs. It feels like a melodic, like, it's like keyed up a couple steps from other runs that she does in other songs, right? She's not like reinventing the wheel here.
Yeah.
But there's something about her voice that sounds like winter. It's clear. It feels like peppermint. It's invigorating and sparkly and fun. And she is a good enough actor that you really believe that she wants to be making a Christmas song, which I feel like is not as easy to sell. Like, Mariah makes it look easy, but that ain't easy either. She's putting in her time. I just don't think there's a lot of great Christmas pop songs that get written and released anymore. And I think this is one in recent memory I wanted to highlight.
Justin, it's so wild that I know who Ariana Grande is. I haven't listened to a bunch of her music like most people, though. I was delighted by her in Wicked, and, you know, I've seen her on Saturday Night Live. She's very funny, but I haven't really spent much time with her music catalog. As I was listening to this song, I listened to it many times over the last week. I kept being like, this song sounds this like...
Why does this sound so like the run in the song that she does in Trolls?
I kept being like, I've heard this song reminds me of something. What song does this remind me of? And I think I've probably just heard this song a bunch of times and don't realize it. Like, I think this song is rattling around in the back of my head and I don't realize that I've heard it.
Okay, so that may be true. I don't know, but I do. Hold on one second, yes. Arnie. Pause podcast.
Sure.
I'm going to send you a link to something.
Okay.
And it's a song called They Don't Know. So once this loads, go to like 220 and start listening there.
Okay.
There's a run she does at about 230 in that song. Uh-huh. It's from the reason I know it is it's at a very important part in the Trolls movie when the princess troll becomes a roller skating princess troll and wins the other, the king troll's heart. So, or the not the troll, the, you know, the Grimmels, the bad people. I'm trying to tell you, honey, but it's all against the world. Hey, but it is a very similar run to the run from Santa Tell Me, which is a very, very, very long.
That might be it.
That may be that it. Might I don't be, know if yeah. you watch Trolls with your children, that run would be in your head. But I don't know. I can't accuse Ariana of cribbing off herself. So I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, I have seen Trolls a lot of times and listened to the soundtrack. It kind of came out at a time when my daughter was just old enough that it's like, let's try to listen to some. It was kind of like acceptable music. Here are my thoughts on Santa Tell Me.
Yeah.
On first blush, I'm kind of like, it's a no for me.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because like I consider myself a poptimist. Like I really do try to like embrace all sort of music styles. I do think there is a little bit of this production quality that does slide off of my brain a little bit.
Yes. Right.
So there is that. It just kind of isn't one of my lanes. That said, the more I listen to it, the more I do get into it. Like it's that kind of familiar. I don't know if I'm just purposely jumpstarting my own familiarity with it to a point where I'm sort of like, oh yes, this is a Christmas song now.
I will say this, Arnie. It was one of them. It was definitely a creeper for me. It was one of those where like, I definitely had heard it like 30 times. And then it was like, I don't know, a realization just sort of settled in like, this is great. Like, I don't know. I've heard this 50 times. This is actually extremely great. And I need to note that this is really good.
Yeah, and I like, you know, look, I'm always going to love a Christmas song that's sort of about a strange relationship with Santa. This one is a little confusing to me. She's sort of like, Santa, you got to tell me if this guy's going to be, he's like a confidant.
It's like, reveal to me the contents of this man's heart. Peer deep into his soul, Santa.
If someone told me that this song was originally written to be about Cupid, I would not be surprised to learn that it was then changed to a Christmas song because there's a lot of like,
honestly, Arnie, what you just said to me, I would be shocked. I would be shocked if someone was like, I'm sorry, Max, you cannot do a Valentine's Day song. It is not that. You must make it about Christmas.
She's just going through her drafts folder. I wonder if this Cupid song could just be Santa.
Santa, Cupid. Santa.
She says, don't make me fall in love again. Like a lot of like.
But Santa does do that, right? Like I Santa makes kids' true. Parents fall in love constantly.
Yeah.
You know, he has that ability. I wouldn't put it past
him. I would love if there was a Christmas song where it's like, Santa, stop making my parents fall in love.
I would also, Arnie, to suggest to you that this is not going to be a family-friendly listening experience until you fully endorse the living existence of Santa. It's really important that your Santa always really continue to affirm his existence as a living human man.
I'm going to try my best to keep this podcast as not explicit, but also, you know, I feel like I do worry every once in a while we're going to brush up against the I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus conundrum that comes up again and again in songs. Where it's just kind of like, hold on, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
But I am fully pro Santa is real in this podcast.
Yeah.
One last thing. One of the lyrics, she's like, I fell in love on Christmas night, but on New Year's Day, I woke up and he wasn't by my side. Is it possible that Ariana just needs someone to commit a little too fast? That's a very short window of time.
Maybe that's how long it took him to escape, to gnaw through the ropes.
Honestly, Ariana, maybe you shouldn't start a relationship at Christmas time. Might be the problem.
My family is in right now, Ariana. I would love to hang out again, but my Uncle Paul is in town and we had plans to go suit shopping. I cannot be with you constantly.
There's also like, I don't think this is in the song, but is there like a she should be in love with Santa instead kind of implication in here?
I mean, that's
at all?
Always, everyone knows that they wish they were in love with the Santa type, you know, generous. A little bit more mature.
Yes.
But you know,
it would be great if Santa was just like, oh, I'm trying to help you find love, but sometimes it's right in front of you.
God, we are probably, this is probably the script of that Kurt Russell movie. I haven't seen it, but it's probably, I don't know.
Right. You're probably right. I think there also might be some Christmas movie that is called Santa Tell Me, and that might be exactly what it is. So here's the thing. I am going to, for now, say this song is not going on my Christmas list.
Fair.
But I have a backup list of songs that I keep going back to being like, I don't know, is this, maybe I didn't give this as much of a chance. I suspect in time this will migrate over to my regular list.
I'm sure that will come as a great relief to Miss Grande, that hope lives on.
Yes. She needs my endorsement of one of the most popular Christmas songs of, as you've said, this millennium. Let's move on to my next song, which I suppose is a little bit related. This is from 1983, The Weather Girls, who were a musical duo that also did the song It's Raining Men, released this song, Dear Santa, Bring Me a Man This Christmas. I don't know if it's just the 1980s of it all that just fully gets me, I think. I love that it begins with them almost doing like a, hey, everybody, this is what the song is going to be, as if they're doing like their guests on a radio station and they're like, hey, this is the Weather Girls saying, listen to KXRL. They're just kind of like, we've got news for you.
We leave the bed there. That's a classic Christmas song, right? Like, there's that 10-second intro of, like, let's talk about how we're about to do a Christmas song and then do the Christmas song.
I know. Like, all Christmas songs, I feel like there's, like, half a dozen ways that a Christmas song can start. It's either just saying the word Christmas a bunch of times, it's jingle bells jingling, or,
It should be called The Chipmunk. Because what it is it's that Dave sets up, like, all right, guys, son of a gun, we got to go record this. We got to record this Christmas song.
It maybe partly makes a little more sense for this song because I looked it up. This was not released on a Christmas album. This was just on their first album. They're like, let's just do a
That's
song
so cool.
About
you want
how we
stuff,
need a man this Christmas. And so, yeah, it's kitschy, but also, like, it's just legitimately, their voices are great. It's really fun. It reminds me a little bit of my childhood in the 80s.
I think that both of their big hits being about summoning men is pretty cool. Like this is asking Santa to bring them a man. It's raining men. It's just men coming from the sky. Like I think they should try meeting someone. You know what I mean? Like just getting out there and just making some connections, because they're waiting on the weather or Santa or anybody other than just like vulnerability. You know, yeah. Putting yourself out there.
Also, this song apparently was co-written by Paul Schaefer.
Freaking great. Fantastic. I also love, with the Weather Girls intro that you're talking about, it almost feels like a Christmas parody of their own song, which is one of my favorite little subgenres of like, oh, you like that one big hit we have? Well, now we've made it about Christmas, so let's release it again.
And this for me is definitely, this is definitely like that conversation starter energy you're trying to get from your playlist, yeah, where someone's like, hold on, what is this? And you're like, well, you remember It's Raining Men? They also had this Christmas song. Would you put either Just Like Christmas or Dear Santa, Bring Me a Man This Christmas, I believe it's called, on your Christmas playlist?
So Arnie, I want to say Just Like Christmas, that's a really good, that definitely will go on the list. Beautiful, sounds beautiful, It's wistful. I love a little bit of like sadness in my Christmas music. I just, and not because I'm sad, but I like how that hangs in the background a little bit more easier than like something a little bit more up front. So I would definitely include that. I think my problem with the Weather Girls song is, and this sort of the thing we haven't touched on here, is that it is 6.5 minutes long.
It is long.
A very, very long novelty Christmas song. If it was Bing Crosby singing for 6.5 minutes, you would probably say, that's enough, Bing. We have other Christmas songs to listen to.
I will say, as I was re-listening to it this week, I was like making a point of listening to the whole thing, and I was like, have I ever listened to this whole song intentionally? Have I just been delighted by the first minute or two, shook my head being like, oh, Weather Girls, you've done it again, and then hit skip? And I think of myself as one of my criterias for my playlist is you don't want to skip any of them. But that, I might just be lying to
myself. I'll be honest, I was hovering over the three little dots to add that song to my playlist just this moment. And the three little dots are right next to the runtime of the song. And I saw that 6:30. I was like, well, that can't be right. I can't
dedicate that amount of time.
I don't know. It's 6:30.
But if it's playing in the background, You enjoy the first minute, and then you kind of like, there's nothing just terrible about it being in the background for a while.
Yeah.
So that's why it's on mine. But I think that is an incredibly valid argument for it not going on your playlist. All right, Justin, before you introduce your next song, I just want to say, spoiler alert, I'd never heard this song before, heard of this song before. Absolutely love it.
Winter Man by Clarence Reed?
Yes.
Yes.
I hear that cold wind blowing through the limbs and the trees. And as I stare out of my window, I can see the falling of the leaves. Hello, old man Winter. I've been kind of expecting you. I have my woman here beside me, so there's no harm you can do. But I feel sorry for the people you catch.
Winter Man by Clarence Reed is, it's not explicitly about Christmas, which is huge for me. I love that. That feels so good in a Christmas playlist to have some things that are not explicitly Christmas, but are seasonal. I think is a great way of breaking up the flow. This is a song about how hard it is to be alone at Christmas, sung by someone who is not currently alone at Christmas, but has been in the past. So it's like, there's a real lovely like generosity of spirit with this song. It's like my heart is going out to people who can be like hurt by the Winter Man, who is where, like the personification that he's talking about of like loneliness and how hard it is to be alone during the holidays, and it sounds great. It's got this like killer organ that it comes in with, and it just sonically doesn't sound like hardly any Christmas music, which is like something I always try to get more like funk and soul mm-hmm. into Christmas music, because I feel like it's underrepresented and it's such a fun energy to like have in the playlist. But this is a great, great example of it for me.
I feel sorry for the people you catch alone, with no love to call their own, 'cause only love can keep them out of your hands. You're mean old winter man. You're cold, cold, cold. You keep me warm with a sweet.
I absolutely love it, and I agree with you. I like the kind of like song about winter that is just Christmas adjacent enough to go on the list.
Right.
It's weird because I will sometimes get in my head about like, this song is not a Christmas song, about other things, but winter songs really make it for me. And it also helps like a soul song for whatever reason, kind of, there's so many great soul Christmas songs
yeah.
that feels, starts to feel just Christmassy to me.
Clarence Reed later performed as a guy named Blowfly, who was a sort of more of a filthy novelty kind of performer, which is also another one of my favorite things, that you have these people who like split time between the different careers. But that's hysterical.
Justin, I'm so glad you brought that up. I did only because I was like, who is this guy? This song is fantastic. I did just the lightest amount of research on him, and my mind was blown that almost the first thing I learned was Clarence Reed released 3 albums. But then as Blowfly he apparently released over 25 dirty song parody albums.
Yeah, he was the X-rated Weird Al. Reportedly, Weird Al has called him the X-rated Weird Al. We don't know. But anyway, it's a great song. I love that song.
There's a lot that could be said about his songs as Blowfly, including Blowfly does XXXmas. But I think
which I doubt will make your list.
Yeah, we'll maybe save that for another time. The last thing I'll say about Blowfly is his last album, released in 2016, was titled 77 Rusty Trombones.
So inspiring. Beautiful. I also wanted to highlight this one because it's one of those that's like, it's just a great song and you wish that it had been picked up at some point into something that gets like recirculated every once in a while, because it's like it's kind of buried back there in the annals, and it's just like a great, it could be a standard. It's killer.
It's fantastic. And like you said, I love, it's similar to Just Like Christmas, I love that there's a melancholy, but the song itself is not a downer. Mm-hmm. Like it's actually an upbeat song that acknowledges the complicated sadness of winter and Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, it's less maudlin and more like, God, it's tough. Oh, that's tough. Yeah, it is. That's rough.
Maybe Winter Man needs to get in a relationship with Ariana Grande. That's the solution. All right, let's go to my last song for this episode. This one is December by Earth, Wind, and Fire. I'm just going to play some of this song. It might be familiar to some people. All right, Justin, I assume you are familiar with Earth, Wind, and Fire's September.
Yes, of course, I know Earth, Wind, and Fire's September.
Mm-hmm.
But what if there was another? This is a rare song that has the guts to ask, what if there's another month? You know?
What if we changed one word 3 times in a song and it's just exactly the same song otherwise? Instead of, do you remember the 21st night of September? It's, do you remember the 25th night of December?
I want Demi to come back with this next Christmas. That, how amazing. Amazing. Commit himself to doing a Christmas one every year.
Yeah. And part of my affection for the original song September is, yeah, Demi's great yearly videos for many years of the song September, which maybe I'll put a link in the show notes. If you have not seen those videos, you absolutely should. But I'm gonna say I actually don't put this song on my own playlist. This is mostly just a song it's fun to share with someone, but you don't want to just like have it come up in your own rotation. This is more right. like, it's funny that they this exists and they did this, but it mostly just makes me think how much I like the original and how it's not Christmassy in
it. You may not even notice it at first. Like, it may seem like, if this kit popped up in the playlist, it may seem like a terrible error. But yeah, it's just, and then you gotta wait. It's like, no, wait, hold on. Wait till the lyrics start. You're gonna love this.
I also love literally one of the last lyrics in the song September is now December found the love that we shared in September. And they just, it's still in the song. Like they don't even change that part.
They're not going to go back and it's got, was it the inspiration for the Love Actually, the Bill Nighy song where he changes the one lyric? It's like, well, yeah, it just sounds better the other way. It's like, yeah, well, I know, but we're just changing the one word to Christmas is all around me.
All right, Justin, what is your last song that you're pitching for my playlist?
Okay, this one I know is a stretch, and if it does not make it onto your personal playlist, I wouldn't blame you because it's kind of an oddball, but this is a song called Alone on Christmas Day. It was written by the Beach Boys. It was performed by the version I like. Is performed by Phoenix in the A Very Murray Christmas, Bill Murray Christmas special on Netflix. It's sad, I say.
Tell me a little bit about why you like this song.
My wife and I watched this very odd Christmas special, which feels like the after party to a normal Christmas special. If you've never watched it, it's like Sofia Coppola directed it. It's like Bill Murray gets snowed in a hotel and has a Christmas special that gets canceled, but is stuck at the hotel with him and Paul Schaefer and Buster Poindexter and a bunch of other real singers and pretend singers. And like you got Jason Schwartzman pretending to be a lovelorn fiance, and Phoenix, the band Phoenix, is in there as the chefs there at the bar that they get snowed in at. And but it turns out when the time comes to like entertain, all of the chefs happen to know instruments and are members of the band Phoenix. So they come and they play this song when they're in the bar of a hotel called the Carlisle, which I Cindy and I love this so much. We actually like stayed there one time on an anniversary because we wanted to have a drink in this bar where this is filmed because it's such a like Christmas staple for us. But this is a song that they sing, and it's another sort of like, I guess, sort of sad-ish Christmas song, maudlin, but still kind of nice to listen to. There's something, so this is like about that connection to that special for me because I love that vibe and that downtown energy. There's something that I really enjoy about Bill Murray just like leaning in on the choruses, I think is really funny. I've listened to the original of this and it doesn't hit me the same way, but I don't know. I put it on every list just because I really dig it.
The original song, is it a Beach Boys recording or maybe like
was released as a recording. There's some weird history to it where like it was not like a big hit for the Beach Boys or a standard. I think it might have been written by one of them and like recorded as a demo. I don't know.
I have a lot of affection for the Christmas special, A Very Merry Christmas. I've only seen it once. I remember really enjoying it. It's definitely got a subdued energy that is part of its charm, although I could see being a sort of turnoff for some viewers that are expecting it to kind of like heighten the sort of cheesiness of what it's doing. And part of what's fun about it is it's the premise is very cheesy and kind of all the things that happen are, but it's kind of played more straightforwardly, like in a way that I think is fun. I'm going to say I don't think I'm putting this song on my playlist, which is a surprise to me because I do love the band Phoenix, especially their early stuff. If I Ever Feel Better off their first album is one of my favorite songs. And, you know, I'm a man of a certain age, so I like Bill Murray. I think I like the song. I'm a little less into the sort of Beach Boys-esque song a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Bill Murray of it all, I like in theory, but I feel like if it's playing in the background, it's going to be too distracting to me. It's in the same way that I will rarely put a live recording of a song on the Christmas playlist.
Except for that one Bruce Springsteen. That's kind
that's
of
the one
a
that
classic.
Gets the closest to it. Sometimes goes on, it sometimes comes off. I wish there was
that's a great recording though too. Like the sound of that is awesome.
That one kind of falls into like I definitely want to hear it during the Christmas season, but I'm probably not going to put it on a playlist that I'm going to put on shuffle, basically. So that's where I am with this. It's also like I kept going back and forth on if I find the lyrics like charmingly simple or annoyingly simple. Like there's a little bit of a quality of, you know, like how they say like comedians once they get reasonably successful, all their material is about flying on planes because that they spend time doing that. There is a little bit of this song that you feel like you can see it being written around Christmas time in an airport, essentially, which isn't inherently against it, but there's just something about it I couldn't decide about. But I appreciate like how this song is very special to you.
Good. Cause otherwise you'd be kind of a jerk.
Yeah, that is true. And thank you for sitting through me being like, these are the things I don't know that I love about this song.
Well, the good thing about it is, Arnie, I didn't do it. So I'm trying to be pretty, honestly, I wouldn't even be that upset if I had done it. It's just, I don't know. It's fine by me.
Whether it goes on the list or not. And again, I'm going to, not all the details are worked out yet, but look, there's probably will be a link in the show notes. There will be a Spotify playlist of my growing list of songs from this podcast series, but there will be the growing list of all the songs, including the ones that I didn't put on my playlist, and likely there will be episode-specific playlists as well. So more playlists than you would ever really want to listen to.
Yeah. And you guys can cook, too. Wow, you're going to be a real catch.
Justin, before we go, first of all, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a real treat just getting to hang out and chat with you. First of all, and to chat with you about Christmas music. Do you have a tiny tip, a little thing that people can do to make the Christmas season feel a little more Christmassy?
I would say that if you have the ability to make a gift rather than buy a gift, it seems silly and it may feel kind of awkward. It may feel kind of embarrassing. Vulnerability often does. But I tell you, it really does make the whole season feel a lot more special when you spend that time thinking about what you can make for people versus what you can buy them.
Although I feel like my guess is, I don't know this for a fact, that you're kind of a handy guy. Like you can make things. What kind of things can you make, Justin?
Well, I'm a woodworker and I've been doing a lot of 3D printing and I have been messing around with a lot of video games and electronics and stuff, making gifts with buying these little retro handheld emulator kind of guys and putting game collections on there. I think people will enjoy that kind
fantastic.
Of like, stuff. I like making. Baking is one that I do for people a lot. I have a snack mix that's people dig, so I'll make some of that as gifts or bake chest bars or things like that for people. So that's I do a lot of that kind of stuff.
Justin, that is incredible, and I now feel bad that my suggestion is, get a seasonal butter dish.
Speaking
that's
of
how you could, you know. Yeah, first
well,
of all,
Arnie, in your defense, mine's hard. And yours is buying a butter dish. You know, I mean, yours sounds better to me. Like, because that sounds easy. I should have thought of the butter dish. Dang.
I would say, listener, if you don't have a butter dish, first of all, they're cheap And, you know, you don't want like butter in your fridge. That's ridiculous. But also you can get like an old timey looking butter dish and just bring it out around, honestly, all winter, but especially the holiday season. It's just a small,
it's great to have
thing.
a little room temperature butter out, especially too, because you don't want to wait if you want to eat some on your bread.
Oh yeah.
You can keep it on the counter.
Absolutely. Justin, is there anything you want to plug before we go?
I don't know if we got any more live shows. We might be doing a Candle Nights thing in December. We usually are doing some sort of holiday thing there. If you go to McElroy.family, you can see all of our links to everything there. It's great.
People should definitely check out Candle Nights and find if there's sort of ways to support it. Do you want to just say a word or two about what Candle Nights is?
Yeah, my wife is a physician at Harmony House. It's a shelter for people experiencing homelessness in my area. And Candle Nights is a made-up holiday that my brothers and I invented that we celebrate every year to raise money for Harmony House. So we have done a video stream in the past. We might do it live again. I don't know if we are doing it live again just because of the temporal laws in place here. Mm-hmm. But McElroy.family would be the URL that I would look at for all of that information because I genuinely don't know.
Well, thank you so much. I think that's great. Please, listeners, go and support that. That's great. As for me, I'm doing this podcast also for a good cause. Actually, I said that wrong. I'm doing it because I like attention. So thank you, everybody, for listening.
I do have a just cause. Just cause I wanna.
I probably will edit in after this all the info you need to know about if there's a social media stream for this and all of that stuff. But before I cut away to that, I just wanted to say again, happy holidays, Justin. It's been a real treat.
Hey, same to you, Arnie. And around here we say Merry Christmas.
This has been No Skip Christmas, created and hosted by me, Arnie Niekamp. You can follow me on Instagram and Blue Sky at Arnie Niekamp, and you can email the podcast at noskipchristmas@gmail.com. Thanks so much to my first guest, Justin McElroy. You can find out more about his podcast, his books, and more at themcelroy.family. You can also get tickets to this year's Candle Nights, which is going to be happening virtually and in person this December. No Skip Christmas is produced and edited by Garrett Schultz. Thank you, Garrett. Speaking of Garrett, he picked this song to go under the outro, O Holy Night by the Bare Naked Ladies from their Christmas album, Bare Naked for the Holidays. I'm loving it. It's perfect right here at the end of the podcast. But is it going on my playlist? Huh. I'm going to say no. Sorry, Garrett. Speaking of those playlists, in the show notes, you can find a link to a Spotify playlist of the ever-growing Christmas list of accepted songs. Also, a link to the playlist of all the songs that didn't get accepted, this sort of Christmas-elanious list. The Christmas-elany list? I'm still working on it. And a playlist of all the songs in this episode. What I'm saying is there's all kinds of good stuff in the show notes. Look at the show notes. We dropped the first two episodes of this podcast at the same time, so the second episode with Helen Zaltzman from The Illusionist is already available for you to listen to. And then after that, there will be a new episode every Tuesday until Christmas. So subscribe to the podcast, rate and review, tell people, post about it on whatever social media platform you can stomach. But most importantly, thank you for listening. Happy holidays!